I don't always give the word I've got a title, but I had done today. And the title is Sign of the Times. And it's really a look at where we are and where the nation is. So I thought back to, God gave me a scripture, and it was in Jeremiah chapter 2. And he gave me a little while ago. It's funny, sometimes being a Bible study, and it's almost as if I go off at a tangent. Something grabs me, and I have to follow it through just there and then. Sometimes I'm sort of half thinking of something else. And anyway, this is how I picked up on that scripture in Jeremiah. But God reminded me about something that happened a long time ago and how things have changed in our nation since. Now, back in the 1980s, I presume some of you weren't born then.
No.
We had a car. Now you probably see sometimes, very rarely now, some have fish emblems on the cars to represent the Christians.
I still sell them.
Oh, do you sell? Oh, right.
I sell them.
But they are few and far between. If you go to a Christian event somewhere, you probably see more of them. But we had a car that I put a sticker in the back window. And the sticker was, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And I thought, yeah, I remember that. And I felt so safe and free to do it, to put that sticker in.
Yeah.
And then I thought, would I do it now? Thought, the atmosphere of the nation has changed. And I think I'd think twice before I'd do it now. And I probably didn't give it a second thought then. I enthusiastically did it. I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And that scripture just stood out to me at the time.
Yeah.
But it is so relevant.
Yeah.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Absolutely.
Now in Jeremiah, I found that there's a parallel to what's going on in our nation today.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are a changing nation.
Yeah.
But we're still God's people.
Well,
as a nation, we are still God's people.
Yeah.
And God calls us his people.
Yeah.
So what's happening? I mean, you remember it, the wars? We prayed as a nation. We prayed as a nation. Our laws were based on the word of God.
Yeah.
And we took his word around the world.
We did.
We took the word of God around the world. But something is happening to this nation. And it's important we know it and understand it, because our place as Christians, as believers, is vital in this day and age.
Amen.
If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. There are just some bits I want to pick out. Now, Jeremiah in this particular instance was talking about Israel. But as a nation, we have got people or elements in the nation. There is a move to reject God in this nation. And in verse 5 of that chapter 2 it says, "They went far from me." This is the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. And it says, "They walked after emptiness and became empty."
Yeah.
That is happening in this nation. They've wandered away from God. So many have wandered away. And it's political correctness wrapped up to say, oh, you can't worship God like, you know, and they tell you different things that you can't do. But it's really because they've walked after emptiness.
Yeah.
Verse 6, it says, they did not say, where is the Lord who brought us? You know, God's brought us to this point in history. Yeah. God's been with this nation. Mm-hmm. We've not been a goody-goody nation.
No.
If you go to Hull, you'll see some ostentatious buildings, some real fancy buildings and architecture. I'll tell you, that money came from slave trade. A lot of that money. And other ports around the country, you'll find that the money came from what would really say immoral earnings.
Yeah, that's right.
And we'd condemn them now, but that's how a lot of wealth was built. Verse 7, it says, you came and defiled my land. We've got things setting up in this nation now that are defiling the land. And verse 8, or still on verse 7, it says, my inheritance you made an abomination. We've allowed things in this nation that shouldn't be allowed. But we've lowered it. And why? Well, if you look at verse 8, it says, the priest did not say, where is the Lord? The priests, the people of God didn't shout against these things. And it says, those who handle the law did not know me. We've got people that's handling the law that don't know God. So don't expect godly laws if the people that handle the law don't know it. It says, the rulers also transgressed against me. We've got laws in this land that are being created that are not based on the word of God anymore. That they've gone astray. It says still in verse 8, it says, and they walked after things that did not profit.
Yeah.
They're looking for the wrong things.
Yeah.
God's told us what to look for, and we will come to that. But the people of this nation are going after the wrong things. They've got the wrong motives, the wrong values. And they're walking after things that do not profit.
Yeah.
You know, we're a beacon on a hill. We've got light in our lives to shine into the darkness.
Amen.
And we need to be prepared to do that.
Yes.
But you know, the wonderful thing about God is that although all these things are happening in our nation, he doesn't let us go.
Praise God.
Verse 9, it tells us, it says, therefore, I, that's God, will yet contend with you and your sons.
Amen.
You know, it's like as if we've gone a step from a generation to a generation to a generation.
Yeah.
And we've seen that change from each generation. Now we've got a generation growing up that doesn't know the Lord. Not even about God. Because somebody in the previous generation says, he doesn't exist. So they're now growing up with no knowledge of God.
Yeah.
They're growing up with a vacuum
in
their lives, because there is a God space in each of us. We've talked about this before. And it's not just a little space.
No.
Those that went on Friday to the lunch, the lady that spoke, it really hit me. And I hadn't read the daily reading that day. If you had word for the day last Friday, read it. It talks about a thing called FTT, failure to thrive. We often hear about people with depression or things like that, but this failure to thrive, it means that they've lost the hope and meaning in life. So we've told the generation that God doesn't exist. First of all, that means there's no meaning in life. That means no reason to exist. So you're taking a hope away. The only hope they have is the familiarity of what they're doing in their lives.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they've got to rely on. They have no future, no reason other than fitting in. So there's a big void in young people's lives. So there's an increase in depression, in suicides among young people. The things that strip a person apart instead of making a person complete. We've shut them out of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not talking about us individually, but as a nation, we've shut them out. Now, it's wonderful to hear what's happening across there at All Saints.
Yeah.
Although the church at the moment is closed, they're seeing something beautiful around it now.
Amen.
I mean, I've seen the flowers that are coming up around the church. I bet they've never had that before.
No.
Now, when they see the cross and it's robed and things like that, then they're going to say, wow, what's going off here? They're going to be curious.
Yeah.
We're trying to establish a presence.
Amen.
In that area.
Yeah.
So we can tell people that God does exist.
Christ.
There is a reason for living.
Yeah.
And we can tell you about him, but you need to get to know him yourself. At the moment, you see, we have there is this culture barrier where the door is closed because somebody has taught, and they tell it in the schools and various things, God does not exist. We've got to break that barrier down.
Amen.
We've got to tell them, yes, God does exist.
Does.
I've got things in my life that I can tell you about that tells me that God exists. There's others that have things in their lives that tells them that God does exist.
Amen.
So we need to tell them the reality that God does exist and you can know him yourself.
Amen.
We've got to break this barrier down. Mm. Now we've sort of started doing it because we've started to try and reach out into the community.
Yeah.
We're trying to get into that position where people aren't hostile to the church. See, it's fine if people come in out of curiosity. There's nothing wrong with them doing that.
No.
Come in out of curiosity. But when they come in, they need to experience that God is real.
Absolutely.
We need to bring the nation back to God.
Amen.
The believers in this country need to bring the nation back to God. We need to re-establish God's values in this nation.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get on any political bandwagoning, but we've got an election coming up. And honestly, I do not know how to vote.
No.
One thing appealed to me quite a while ago, that we had a party that now decides that they'd like to live as I live. That is, I spend less than I earn. I don't get myself into debt. If I can't afford it, I either don't have it or I wait until I can afford it. But as a nation, we've not lived like that. We've lived in debt and we've got further and further into debt. So the principle of living within your means is a good idea. And then I see another aspect happening, that the finance of changing things round is to pay those that are on little less and to leave those that are on a lot alone. And I find that completely at odds with living within your means. Somewhere there has to be a balance of doing things right. And this is the Christian principle coming again, is getting hold of what God's saying we need to do as a nation to balance our books. We cannot do things out of balance. It isn't fair. It doesn't work. But that's my political spiel. I'm not talking about any parties, really. I'm just saying that the principle of who do you vote for to get what God wants from us as a nation?
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer at this moment in time. I don't know who I will vote for. Traditionally, in the area where I was brought up, you know, it was always a Labour thing, and people voted Labour because that was the tradition. But as Christians, we need to think who God wants to serve us in the government. Who do we want to bring God's values back into this nation? See, one of the responsibilities that we have and the opportunities we have is to bring hope back into people's lives.
Yeah. Amen.
And the, one of the devil's major tools is to rob people of hope. God wants us to live victorious lives. He tells us he wants us to live a full life.
Yes.
Well, you can't live a full life if you have no hope. But you start putting hope into people's, and it tells you in the Word of God that hope leads you into faith.
It
takes you into faith. It takes you into something more.
Yeah.
If you've got hope in your life, then you've got something to grab hold of.
Yeah.
You rob people of hope and very quickly they deteriorate.
Yeah.
It goes back to this FTT, this failure to thrive.
Yeah.
And living without purpose can be a very sad thing.
Yeah.
And I mean sadness in its deepest sense. People just cannot find joy if they feel they've nothing to live for.
That's right.
No reason. But what responsibility do we have as believers? You think, well, I live in an area where there's not many other Christians about. I live in a family, perhaps, where there's no other Christians in the family. Well, if you went back to Genesis and what God said about Sodom, and Abraham was pleading with God, and God says, well, if I find 50 righteous people, he says, I'll not destroy it on account of those 50. And Abraham kept pleading, he took it down to 10. If you're just a handful of people with a witness and you have that ability to just stand and be in Christ,
yeah.
You're that light, you're that righteous light that'll stop the nation being destroyed.
Amen. Yeah.
But it's more than that. It's more than that. Because you can build on a little hope. You can build on a little faith. See, God has always responded to faith. When if you look at in the New Testament, this is something for you to study at some time. Look through the occasions when Jesus healed, and the number of times he says, he mentioned faith, your faith, your faith. When Jesus says, I'll heal you, he wasn't interested in the sickness.
No.
He could heal anything. No matter, you know, we talk about cancer and different things as being things that, you can't heal them, they're too serious. No, God's talking about the faith is the thing.
Yeah.
It's not the sickness. Jesus says that the centurion, what was it, that he had his servant sick.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I'll come and heal him.
Yeah.
He weren't asking about the condition,
no.
Although the centurion told him a bit about it. He wasn't interested. It didn't matter.
No.
Jesus says, I will come and heal him.
Amen.
Then the centurion says, well, you don't need to come. You just say the word and it's it. That's it. And Jesus says, bye. I haven't seen faith like that. But you see, Jesus was responding to the faith.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but my faith level is inconsistent. There's times where I could ask for anything and believe, And there's other times that I feel so weak. I don't know whether you might not be like that. You might be consistent and, 100% faith all the time. But if Jesus says to you, you were praying for somebody and you got this come into your spirit, Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. And this person's got cancer. How persistent and consistent and determined will you remain in faith to see that event happen? Now that's a challenge. That doesn't come easy. Because your faith, your level of faith, does sometimes reflect how you feel at a given time. Sometimes you can feel real good about yourself, and other times you can feel a bit rammy. It might be your chemicals in your body might be out of balance for some, and your faith seems to wobble in accord with that. But we've got to learn to reach out in faith. Paul wraps it up well in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. He says, it tells us that the only thing that works is faith working through love. That's the only thing that works. You can do all your fancy programs and all this sort of thing, but the thing that really works is faith working through love. There's faith without love's nothing. But faith working through love. And Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. People have to know who Jesus is. They need to know. See, our perception of things often is not God's. We went through a phase. It's a long time ago now. I'll ask you a question. When you pray, do you say, please God, will you heal so and so? Because that's often how I pray. But the other side of it is, God's given us authority. Yes. Now Peter, at the gate, beautiful, he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Amen. He didn't say, Lord Jesus, please will you. No. He took the authority and he said it. Yeah. And he believed it. Because he probably didn't then. Immediately. Yeah. So we've got something to reach out for. We're not all the way there yet. Sometimes we feel we're so isolated and on our own, and we sometimes in the work and social environment we don't get the encouragement. Yeah. But Elijah was in that situation. He thought he was the only one left, and he was right, and he wanted to die. He thought it was the only one that was left. But God told him, he says, I've 7,000 that won't bow to Baal. But that wasn't Elijah's perception. He didn't see that until God told him. You only need faith as a mustard seed. Yeah. That's what it starts with.
Yeah.
And he says, you'll say to the mountain, move.
Yeah.
Your challenge today is, which way do you want to walk? Do you want to walk towards unbelief? Or towards faith. They said if you exercise faith, it builds up, it grows. If you exercise certain muscles, they develop. It's hard work, exercise. But faith is what God wants from us and what he looks for and what he sees. It's faith that he responds to. And I believe that if we can grow in faith, and faith with love, not just faith on its own, if we grow in faith, then we will see things happen.
We will. Amen.
We will see things happen that the doctors say can't happen.
Praise God.
We'll see things happen that we didn't think could happen in the natural, but because our faith is risen,
Amen.
we know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We know that the result is going to come. We can't sit on the fence.
No.
You're either in unbelief or you're in faith.
Yeah.
But when you're heading towards faith, when you're growing in faith, you're developing spiritually. See, one of the things back in that thing in Jeremiah that I read, it said that they changed the glory of God for that does not profit. It says, and they've forsaken him. It says, they'd hewed for themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether you've all heard, but there is a living water. There's a living water. And Christ brings us the living water. And that makes a big, big difference.
Yeah.
I don't want broken cisterns. They're useless.
That's it.
They serve no purpose. But Christ brings us living water that's going to transform us and transform our ability to walk in faith. When Joshua was leading the children of Israel, he took over from Moses. And he had challenges to face. And he made a declaration, a statement. And it's as powerful today as it was then. And it's a statement that you can make in your own heart. And you make it to God. And his statement was, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the challenge came, it says, it was arising from, "Choose today whom you will serve." Yeah. You can play around in worshipping the gods. And if you look at that Joshua chapter 4 verse 15, they were talking about the little gods. Gods with a small g.
Yeah.
And you can serve those gods. And they're empty gods. They're useless gods. The dead end gods, the gods with no power.
Absolutely.
But like idiots, we serve them.
Yeah, that's true.
And we serve them sometimes because our friends serve them, and we join in because it's peer pressure.
Yeah.
But you make a declaration today in your heart.
Yeah.
"As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we will see faith increase." We will see answers to prayer because faith is growing.
Yeah.
It's not. Faith is not static.
Yeah.
Faith grows, and I say you study that the New Testament, the Gospels where Jesus healed, and the times he responded to faith, almost every time, and sometimes you know it wasn't the person that was sick. It wasn't their faith that he responded to. Those that let him down on the stretcher down into the house, it was their faith. That man that was on the stretcher was healed because their faith. God has got tremendous things for us. We're just on the launching pad, really. We've got a whole community.
Yeah.
We can wake them up.
Yeah.
But we might have to shout. Some are hostile. Some have other religions that they're locked into.
Yeah, they do.
And like being brought up in a tradition of a religion, it is hard to break free from it.
Yeah, it is.
But you see, the key to breaking free and coming into knowing Jesus is that love is what draws them. The love of Jesus draws them. It's not a big stick. See, there are, and I'll not mention which religions, but there are religions which lock people into fear. You will not leave under pain of death. Well, praise God, Jesus isn't like that. Jesus is going to draw you and me in love. And he wants to learn the principle of how to live by faith. How to grow in faith. How to reach out in faith. How to claim the victory in faith. It's a powerful thing. Faith is a powerful thing. It's believing without seeing, yet knowing that the result is coming. Or is already there even. It says, before you ask, I'll answer. So where are you today? What is your position today? Are you? We can come to church, we can sit in a chair, we can sing hymns, we can pray even. But we can have no faith. Faith is an active thing. And sometimes faith is only tested when we're challenged on situations. Have you been challenged on situations? Have you been challenged in your walk this year? Sometimes you're at an age where you're taking exams in school. Is your faith sufficient for you to trust God? Andrew's told you in the past that he was down to fail. But God lit his beacon.
Amen.
God lit his beacon.
Yeah.
And he says, no, no. By faith, I'm going to pass.
Amen.
Do the impossible.
Yeah.
Get the impossible.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful when you get a spirit of excellence.
Amen.
Through faith. That doesn't mean he didn't have to work. But faith took him along that path that brought success.
Yeah.
And just pray today that success will come to each one of us, but it'll come by commitment and growth in our own faith. You know, God loves every one of us, and he knows exactly where we are, in our walk with him. And the wonderful thing about him, he never lets us go. He'll not say, oh, clear off and do your own thing. We might say, I am going and doing my own thing. But he'll be there for us. He'll be there for us. So I challenge you today to say what Joshua said. But not just to say it and mouth it. Believe it in your heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.